Father, thank you that we can come to you because you are the source of life. You are the creator of life. You are the sustainer of life. You're the one that holds eternal life. And that life is found in your Son. And that life is the light of men that shone into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. And that light has shone into our hearts, Lord, and we have seen the mercy and the grace of God, the love that we have embraced by faith, Lord. And we want to thank you, Father, for that life that lives within us, the life that we have access to. And God, I pray, Father, that as we come to you in faith, Father, that we will have this life more abundantly. God, as you promised, Lord, you've come to give us life and life more abundantly, life that overflows, life that cannot be contained, life that cannot be measured. And Lord, I pray for that life in each and every one of us today, Father, as we come to you. As we come to you, Lord, you say all who are thirsty and weary must come. And you will give them rest, and you will give them rivers of living waters that will stream from the innermost being that will overflow. God, we want to thank you, God, that this is the life that you've promised in your Son, and this is the life that we're here for today. We've come to receive from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a very special day. And some of you might ask, why is it so special? Why are we here today? Why are we here today? And I want us just to look at a little video clip about the significance of today. The reason why we're here today. The reason why we've all come together for this day. And I want us just to quickly look at that as an introduction.
It was supposed to be a day of mourning. A day of defeat. It was a day for the critics and skeptics to point the finger with smug satisfaction and declare, "Your Savior was a fraud. His death has proven it. He is buried, he is gone, and he will be forgotten." It was supposed to be a day of darkness. And a day of grief. A day when broken and confused followers felt lost and overwhelmed with hopelessness. Even those who went to visit the tomb that day expected to find nothing more than a lifeless body. It was supposed to be a day of sadness and weeping. But you transformed it into a day of rejoicing, a day of victory, a day when the children of God can shout with confidence, "He is alive, He is risen, and He will never be forgotten." This day has driven out all darkness and grief, erased all sin and shame. A day when followers of the true Savior are flooded with purpose, promises, and hope. This day echoes through the halls of history as the day our King crushed the head of the snake, tore through the chains of death itself, and claimed mankind for His kingdom. Tears of despair have become tears of overwhelming joy. For the Lord Jesus Christ has made this day of sorrow into a day of worship.
This truly is the greatest day in history. There is no other day like this. From this day on, never, ever again would everything or anything be the same. This is the greatest day in history, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive. He is risen. It changes everything. It changes everything. All the promises, all the prophecies, all the things that have gone before does not equal this day. This is the day that God raised Christ from the dead. It is the most powerful, the most significant, the most glorious, the most happy day in history. This is why we are here today. We're here to celebrate what God has done through the life, the death, but more importantly, the resurrection of His Son. And the importance of that. Not just what it did 2,000 years ago, but what it means to you and me today. Because today is still alive. Today is still risen. Today is still seated at the right hand of God. Today all the promises that He's made is still real. And it is sealed in the resurrection life that is found in Christ Jesus. It's because of His life that we're here today. We're here today more because of His life than we are here because of His death. We are here more because of His life than we are here because of His death. It is the resurrection that sealed everything. It is the resurrection that is the proof of everything. It is the resurrection in which we live to this day. And it is the resurrection in which we will live for eternity. It is all about this day. It's about Easter Sunday. This is the seal. This is the pinnacle of Christianity. This is what everything is all about. You know, in this day, Jesus not only rose from the dead, sin and death was overcome. We have forgiveness, we have redemption, we have a new identity, we have a future, we have hope, we have eternal life. How important is this day? Well, it's the most important day. We celebrate sometimes Christmas far more, but the most important day was not that day, the most important day was this day. That's the most important day. This day continues for eternity. As a matter of fact, everywhere the apostles went, as they shared the gospel, not only did they speak of the fact that Jesus came to die for our sins, in the center of the good news was the fact that Jesus is alive. If you read Acts, if you read the early church, you'll see wherever anyone preached the gospel, their focus was on the fact that Jesus is alive, and I've seen Him and I've testified that this is true. This is amazing. You know, so many times in modern Christianity, we focus so much on what Christ has done for us on the cross, which is true, which is awesome, which is amazing. But Jesus died on the cross. You go to certain churches and there's still a corpse hanging on the tree. But He's no longer there. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And that was the center of the gospel. That was the seal. That was the proof that this is true. The promises of God is true. It was sealed. The evidence, the sign of the truth of the gospel was the fact that Jesus is alive. Yes, He died for your sins. Yes, He became sin. Yes, He faced the punishment of that sin. And yes, He died. But the thing that changed everything was not His death. It was His resurrection. Because everyone before Him died. As a matter of fact, every other Savior and all the other religions in the world, whether it's Muhammad or Krishna or Buddha, they are all dead. They are still dead. There's only one that is alive. There's only one that overcame the grave. There's only one that death could not keep. There's only one that overcame the power of sin and death, and that is Jesus Christ. And He's still alive. He still speaks. He still lives. And that is why we're here today. We're here to celebrate what God has done through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those three days were the most significant 3 days in the history of the world. And the most important was this day, the resurrection. I mean, the early Christians, they went from house to house sharing with one another what Christ has done. And then they met on the Sabbath in the temple with all the other Jews, because it started off in Jerusalem amongst the Jews. So they went from house to house, and on the Sabbath they came together. But on the first day of the week, it was their special day. The first day of the week was the day on which Jesus rose from the dead. And from the beginning of church to this very day, for 2,000 years, Christians still meet. Not on the Sabbath, but on the first day. Because it was on the first day that Jesus rose from the dead. It is the seal, it is the sign, it is what brings us together, is the fact that Jesus is alive. And He's still alive today. The resurrection day. I mean, every Sunday, every time we come together on a Sunday, I don't know whether you understand the significance of the fact that Christians do not meet on the Sabbath. They do not meet on Saturday. The Jews still meet on Sabbath. But Christians meet on the first day. You know why? Because it wasn't the first day that Jesus rose. It was on this day that Jesus rose. That is the significance about Christianity. That is what sets us apart. That our Savior still lives. Our Savior still lives. He is not dead. It is the center of our faith. Paul describes it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, now if Christ is preached that has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes, are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He has raised Christ up, whom He did. And if He did not, in fact, the dead does not rise. For if the dead does not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And then also all who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In this life only, if in this light only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Well, what a powerful statement. How important is the fact of the resurrection in the life of every Christian? How important is the fact of the resurrection in the message of Christianity? Well, it is the most important thing. As a matter of fact, if you take the resurrection out of it, it doesn't make sense. Everything falls flat. As a matter of fact, all the promises of God means nothing without the resurrection. As a matter of fact, Paul says, listen here, if we only have hope in Christ in this life, we are most pitiable of all men. In other words, if it was not for the resurrection, our faith is meaningless. It's empty. It's so interesting. Once Jesus came to Mary and Martha. You remember Mary and Martha? Martha, Martha, why are you so busy? Once Jesus came to visit the two sisters, and we know the story. Both were excited to have Jesus in the home, and Martha went about cleaning and preparing and doing everything that was necessary. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was angry at her sister because she had to do all the work, and Mary was just sitting there. And Jesus corrected her and said, you know what, Martha? Mary has chosen the better thing. And it will not be taken away from her. She chose to sit at my feet. She chose to be with me. She chose to be in my presence. One day Jesus was on his way when he heard the news that their brother Lazarus was sick and dying. And by the time Jesus got to their home, Lazarus was dead. As a matter of fact, it's the fourth day already. He's been dead for 3 days. And then Jesus had this encounter with the two sisters, and he was speaking to Martha, who met him. And Jesus said to her these powerful words. He said here in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. What a powerful statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus speaking these powerful words. I am the resurrection and the life. It reminds us of John chapter 1 where it speaks about the life, the light that came into this world. What a powerful statement. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they may die, they shall live. What a powerful promise. As a matter of fact, like Christ, those of us who have faith in God's sacrifice will also overcome death. In the same way that Christ overcame death, the promise is made that those who believe in Him will follow the same route, will have the same victory. As a matter of fact, just like Christ could not be held by death, nor will those who believe in Him. Because something mysterious happened through faith, through salvation, we become one with Him. We become in Christ. and we live the life that he lives. Death could not hold us or hold him, nor will it be able to hold us. And that's the powerful thing about the Christian burial, the Christian funeral. I've been to so many, and there is so much sadness, so much loss. But in the midst of the sadness and the loss, this is this hope, this promise that death is not the end. In the same way death could not hold Christ, death will not hold the Christian. And that even though he die, he will live. In the same way that even though Christ died, he lives today, so every believer in Christ will also live. As a matter of fact, even though you may die today, tomorrow you will be alive with Christ. If you have faith in him and you are sealed by his blood and you are living in him, you have nothing to fear when it comes to death. Death is not the end. It is not final. It is not complete. It is not over. It is simply the beginning of eternal life with God. In a life where there is no sickness, where there is no disease, where there is no pain or suffering, where you are in God's presence, where there is no darkness at all. It is only the beginning. It's great to come and to conduct a funeral with this hope, with this message. It brings great comfort, this reality of what Christ has promised. If you have Christ, you not only have the promise of resurrection, you have the source of life. You must understand that if you read John chapter 1. I don't have the slide here, but I love John chapter 1. I love how it summarizes who God is and what he has done, and more specifically, Christ. It says here in the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend, overcome, overwhelm it. It is so powerful that in Christ is life. And God promises that if you have Christ, you not just have the resurrection, you have life itself. This is the source of life. This is the beginning of life. This is the sustainer of life. This is the continuation of life. This is life, Jesus Christ. And the great mystery of this life, that is the light of men that became flesh and dwelled amongst us, and we behold its glory. And then the promise that if you have Christ, you have life. Not just here, but for eternity, because this is the source of life. This is the sustainer of life. This is eternal life. This is the life that has been from the beginning, before everything, and will continue beyond everything. It is Christ. And if you have him, you have life. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because I am the life. And then in John 1 John 5, verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. What an awesome promise that God is life, and if you have God, you have life. And in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, this is the great promise of salvation. Not just the forgiveness of sin, not just the cancellation of our debt, but actually receiving God, life, himself. As long as you have Christ, you have life. And Christ lives eternally. And therefore, you will live eternally. Because if you've got the source of life, death will not finish you. In the same way it could not Christ, it will not defeat you. Back to 1 John 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. What a powerful statement. And in this context, Jesus came, and when he was still afar off from the home, the message went out to Mary and Martha that Jesus is here. And Martha ran out to meet the Lord. And then she said, "Oh Lord, but if you were only here." We remember that account. But listen to this conversation that takes place here from verse 17. So when Jesus came, he had found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now verse 20, I think I have it there. Oh no, there it is. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you were here, if you were here, Lord, if you were here. If you were here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And then Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." I mean, what a powerful statement. I mean, here Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, if you were only here, my brother would still be alive, because I've seen what you do. I've seen how you heal the sick. I've seen it countless times. Everywhere you go, whenever people brought sick to you, God, they were healed. And if you were here, my brother would have been healed. But I know whatever you ask of God, he will do." And then Jesus responded to that statement and says, "But your brother is not dead. He will rise again." And then Martha responded very interestingly, confirming a faith in what Jesus has said. But yet in the future of something that was still going to happen, Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Do you see that? Jesus come to a life right now in the middle of a situation, in the middle of death, and Jesus speaks life. And she responds in faith saying, "Yes, God, I know in the end, one day when you return, we will all live again. One day in the future, whenever that might be, God, I know when you return, all the dead will rise. I believe that." And then Jesus spoke to her, saying to her, "Do you not realize who I am? Do you not realize that the one who will bring life in the end is with you right now?" Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. This resurrection that you speak of one day, that will come to pass. This power, this source of life that will bring forth life to all that are dead, I am He. I am it. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? This is my question that I'm asking you today. Jesus speaking, saying, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Jesus says something powerful. "Though you die, you will live." And he speaks about both. He speaks about the time that will come when he returns and all the dead will be made alive in Christ Jesus. But he's also speaking about here and now. He's saying, yes, it will come to pass. But the very thing, the very one that will bring forth life is here with you right now. And those who live in me, those who believe in me, will have life. I am the resurrection and the life. And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And you know what? All of a sudden, the resurrection and the life is not just for the time to come. All of a sudden, the resurrection and the life is for here, right now, today. All of a sudden, when Jesus spoke those words, Martha saw that life was not just to come. The resurrection was not just for one day. It was for here and now, because the source is here and now. It's almost like that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that came to Jesus for water. And Jesus said, woman, if you knew who was speaking to you, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for living water. And you will never thirst again. You will never thirst again. Jesus healed the sick, the lame walked, the blind saw, the deaf received their hearing. He raised the dead. The Messiah was amongst us. The Messiah was here. He was also the Lamb of God. Christ came to die for our sins. We understood that from the law, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We understood the consequence of sin. We understood atonement. Hebrews 10 makes it so very clear that year after year, the blood of bulls and goats had to be spilled for atonement. But Hebrews 10 makes it clear that even though the law required the sacrifice of animals, it could not make the worshippers perfect. And therefore, they came back year after year as a reminder of sins. And we understand that Christ had to come to be the sacrifice that takes away the sins, that takes away the penalty, that takes away the shame and the guilt. We understand that. But we were never sure if sin and death could ever be defeated. We were never sure. We understood that whenever you sin, the consequence of sin is death, but that you can make a sacrifice. You can have something, someone, through imputation, through transferal of my guilt and sin, someone can die on my behalf that sets me free. And it was repeated year after year after year. And so when Christ came and it was declared that He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, we understood that He can be the sacrifice that pays for our sin. But can sin and death truly be overcome? Because under the law, this sacrifice had to be repeated endlessly, year after year, as a reminder of sins. We didn't fully understand when Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. We didn't fully understand when He died. We didn't understand when the Messiah, the King, died. This is the Messiah. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Son of God. This is our hope. This is the promises of God. This is all our dreams. This is all the promises. This is the one that heals us. This is the one who healed the sick. Wherever He went, when anyone was brought to Christ, He was healed. He lived with us. This is our hope, the Messiah, the fulfillment of all the prophecies. He is with us. We have hope. We have deliverance. We have freedom. And then they crucified Him. And He didn't save Himself. He was mocked by His enemies. The Romans crucified Him. The Pharisees taunted Him. Says, you could heal the sick. You could raise the dead. Now save yourself. And we were all waiting, hoping, in desperation, in our confusion, our Savior was crucified, humiliated, and then He died. Then he died. Absolute. Death is absolute. Death is finished. It is the full stop of every sentence of life. It is the end. Our Savior died. Our hopes, our dreams, all His promises, all the things that He said, He died with Him that day. Hope was lost. This was the Messiah that was going to deliver us from our enemies. And yet the enemies crucified Him. They killed Him. And all our hope and our dreams and the promises, the one who healed all our sick, He died that day. And with it, all our hope. It seems like the greatest defeat ever. An apparent failure. And we saw how the skies went dark. Earthquakes and lightning. And the Savior was dead. And then the next day, we pleaded for His body to give Him a decent burial. And we put Him in a grave. And He was dead for the first day and the second day. And on the morning of the third day, two women, two Marys, went to that grave. Interesting if you study who they were and their life and their testimony. Two women came to the grave expecting gods. But something happened. Something happened on the third day. Something happened that changed everything. Because it was on the third day that Christ was risen. The stone was rolled away. And the tomb was empty. The guards were gone and angels were waiting these women. And they asked this question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? What a powerful statement on that third day. Death could not hold Him. He was risen by the power of God. It was a new beginning. It was a new beginning for humanity. Not just for Christ, but for humanity. And as I was preparing, I just really sensed God laid a word for you on my heart. And I don't know who you are, but if you are here today and your life is a defeat, you have come to a dead end. It is an apparent failure. Today is Resurrection Day. Today is Resurrection Day. Death is not the end. The apparent failure became the greatest victory. Everything changed on the third day. For 3 days there was no hope. But on Resurrection Day, everything changed. And I believe there are some people here today that your life has reached a dead end. Your life has reached the end. And you cannot see beyond this. You have come to an end and everything around you seems like a failure. Everything that you have tried has failed. Your life, everything that you have started, it is gone. It is vanished. Hope is gone. I believe God is saying today He's saying to you, today is Resurrection Day. What seems to be lost can be saved. What seems to have died can be life. And that life is found in one person. Jesus Christ, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you have done. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know how bad your situation is. I don't know how hopeless you are. I don't know how deep this hole is you're in. I don't care how final the dead end is. God is saying to you today, this is Resurrection Day. The grave is empty. Life can come back into you. It will be different, but it will be new life. That is what God called us to. This apparent failure, God turned into the greatest victory. And when the women came to seek the body of the dead, the guards were gone, the angels appeared, and they spoke these words, "Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead?" And this is another word for somebody here. I don't know who you are, but God is speaking to you, and He say, "Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead?" And for some of you, you have been seeking life. You are seeking life amongst the dead. You've been seeking life here. You've been seeking life there. You're pursuing this. You're pursuing that. And I believe God is saying to you, why are you seeking life? Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? It is not in the grave. It is not in the world. It is not in that security. It's not in the thing that you're pursuing. God is asking you, why are you seeking life amongst the dead? He is not there. I don't know who you are. I don't know what it is you are seeking. I don't know what it is that you're seeking you're in. But God is speaking to you today and say, He is not there. Life is not found in there. The tomb was empty. And Jesus appeared. And this is so amazing. Not only was the tomb empty, not only was the guards gone, the seal broken, the stone rolled away, the angels there in the tomb empty, Jesus appeared. He appeared. He first to the two women, and then to the disciples, and then we read to 500 other people in this 40 days before He ascended to heaven. Jesus was not just alive. The tomb was not just empty. He was real. He appeared amongst His people. So that everyone might know that Jesus is alive. The tomb is not just empty. No, it's not just empty. He is alive. His body was not removed. His body was not removed. The angels didn't take it. The disciples didn't steal it. It isn't a conspiracy. He's alive. He appeared to Mary, the disciples, and 500 men. And by the time the gospel were written, most of them were still alive. They could have challenged that if it was not so. And Paul makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians 15. Many of those are still alive today. You can go and ask them. As a matter of fact, you can go and ask so many here. He is not dead. He is not a philosophy. He is not a creed. He is alive. He is alive. Not only was death defeated, all the claims that He made. You must understand this. Jesus made amazing claims. While He was still on earth, before His death, He made amazing claims. He not only claimed that He is the Son of God, but He claimed that who has Him has life and has the Father. He made claims that He is the one that forgives sin. He made claims that whoever comes to Him, He will heal, He will deliver, He will set free. Jesus made awesome claims about who He was and who the kingdom of God is. And who God is. And He made all these awesome claims. But you know what happened? He not only died, He was raised from the dead. And all the claims, all the promises, all of a sudden, there is a seal of authenticity to this. Because the one that spoke and said, "I am the resurrection and the life," death could not hold Him. He raised from the dead and He is alive. And all the words that He spoke is yes and amen. In Christ Jesus, it is sealed in the resurrection. All the promises is yes in Christ Jesus. That is the way God sealed, verified everything that He said. Not only was our sins paid for, but He overcame death. He became sin. He was punished for our sin. He faced the consequence for our sin. And then God raised Him to new life. A new creation. The sin that He became was dealt with. It was killed. And He became a new creation. And he showed himself to us so that we can know what is the pattern to follow. This is not just forgiveness of sins. It is the resurrection life. And I want to encourage you, Christ did not just come to forgive your sins. He came to give you life. That you can walk in the same pattern, in the same way, and experience the same life. Deliverance from the power of sin today. In Romans 6, we spent some time there last week. It says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It is the resurrection life that we have today that we can walk in. For if we be united in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ had been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. Do you see? The same death we share, but we also share the same life. Easter is not just about the forgiveness of sins. It is about the newness of life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter the failure. Today is Resurrection Day. He became the firstborn of the dead. From the dead. In Revelations we read, grace to you and peace from him who said, from him who is, and he who was, and he who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, who are the ruler over the kings of the earth. Why is Jesus the firstborn from the dead? Because he's the first one that overcame death. That's why. I mean, Romans 8, verse 28 to 29 says something powerful. It's the same scripture, verse 28, that says that he makes all things work together for the good, for those who love him. We know that. Verse 29 says, for he became the firstborn of many brothers. I mean, it's so powerful. I mean, Jesus came into the world as the only begotten Son to become the firstborn of many. Of which we have now become, look as we continue, to him who loved us and washed us of our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You have become a new creation in Christ. You have a new start in Christ. You have a new identity in Christ. But that is found in him. You must understand this. Yes, there is resurrection. But Jesus stood with Martha and says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you have me, you will not die. Because I live for eternity. I am the one that gives you life. And I want to encourage you, that life, that source of life still lives today. And if you have him, you will live with him for eternity. And nothing can separate you from that. But he is here today. I am the resurrection. But that is found in him. It doesn't matter what your circumstances is. Life is not found in your circumstances. Life is not found in your success. Life is not found in your failure. Life is not found in anything except in him. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances, it doesn't matter what your reality is. There is resurrection life in Christ. And today is Resurrection Day. You can turn your greatest defeat into the greatest victory. You can move from this circumstances to this reality. And this reality will manifest. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, He spoke right into their greatest defeat, the loss of their brother. Lazarus was dead. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am here in the midst of your greatest failure and your greatest defeat, in the finality of death. Even in your confusion and your offense, Lord, if you were only here, Mary did not even leave the house. When the news came that Jesus was here, in the midst of your greatest offense, in your greatest offense, in the midst of your greatest failure, I believe God is speaking to some of us here today, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. It doesn't matter what your failure is. It doesn't matter what your circumstances is. I am life. Do you believe? Through a simple step of faith, God can turn that into your greatest victory. Do you believe that? Because today is Resurrection Day. In Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 7, the Word of God says, And He, Christ, made you, and you He made alive, who were dead in the trespasses of sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, filling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Do you see where the resurrection is? It's in Him. It's in Christ. And He's standing before you today and says, I am the resurrection and the life. And you can have a new life. You can have a new life. If you've never embraced Christ, you cannot just have a new life, a new beginning, a new start. You can have a new spirit. God's Spirit will come and live within you and change everything. Everything will change. Not just a clean slate, not just being forgiven, but God Himself will come and live within you and change you from the inside. The very things that you cannot overcome, the very things that you do not want to do yet do, the very things that hold you captive, it can change today. Because it's Resurrection Day. Hey, every day is Resurrection Day, but today is the special Resurrection Day. Your life can change. You can have a new life, a new start, because God is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. So you can have that. The promises of Christ is true. No matter what you have done, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, the voice of the empty tomb is still crying out. Life can begin again. So no matter your life, no matter what had died within you, your dreams, your hopes, there is new life. It is a different life. For some of you, you've been going in a direction and it has failed. If you're a sinner that leads to death, God can give you new life that leads to life. If you're a Christian and you have failed, there's some of us here today, I believe God is saying, I have a new life, but it is a new direction. Your circumstances, your fears, your failing, bring it to me. It is the day for new beginning. It is a different beginning. It is a different direction. But I really believe God wants to give you new life, a new direction. He wants to bring resurrection in your circumstances, in your hopelessness, in your health, in your faith. God has a promise for you. But it's not just for this life. It's also for the life to come. And that is what it really boils down to. This life is but a vapor. Today, we are here. Tomorrow, we will be gone. From this life. But if you have Christ, this life is not the end. This life, as it is just a vapor, as it is just here for a second and gone tomorrow, will continue forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And if you have faith in the life and the resurrection, you will live forever and ever and ever and ever with Him. And this life will be a distant memory of eternal reality. Therefore, we are bold. Therefore, we are not afraid. Therefore, we are not ashamed. It doesn't matter what circumstances does. It doesn't change my destiny. It doesn't change my destination. It doesn't change. Because I know the life and the resurrection. I know this life is simply a stepping stone to eternity. And it doesn't matter what happens here, it cannot change where I'm going. Therefore, even though I suffer in this life, even though I have trouble in this life, even though I face dead ends in my life, you know what? The amazing thing is, God not just brings resurrection life in all my circumstances and dead ends. My life is a testimony of God's faithfulness. And I've seen it in countless lives as people come to their very end. Or they come in the midst of their shame or the realization of their failure. And God turns it new. He makes it new. Every time. But there's something far greater than that. It is the fact that life continues for eternity. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Like my little girls that asks me so regularly, Father, Daddy, when is Jesus coming back? We cannot wait. And I'm saying, my child, I can't wait either. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today because it's Resurrection Day. It doesn't matter what your circumstances is. It doesn't matter the dead end that you're facing. It doesn't matter the dreams that you've lost. The hope that is gone. It doesn't matter how far you've backslidden. It doesn't matter if you've never known Him. Today is Resurrection Day. It doesn't matter what is the report of the doctor or the banker. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that God is saying to you today, I am the resurrection and the life. And I am here now. Do you believe? Do you believe? Father, I want to thank You that we can stand here today and know, Father, that You have come to give us life. Not just the promise of life one day, but resurrection life here, now, today. Because You're alive, God. You are alive. And Lord, You're speaking to us and to so many of us today on this day where we declare that the tomb is empty, but we declare far more than that. That You have risen, that You're alive, and that all the promises is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and that You are the source of life, the giver of life, the sustainer of life. Not just life here, but life for eternity. And that You can come into our midst, into our failures, into our death, into our loss, into our disappointments. And You can speak life. You can resurrect everything that was lost. And God, we come to you in a response to these words. And we want to surrender our lives to you. And if you are here today and God has been speaking to you, and you can feel the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, when you look at your life and it feels like a failure, God is speaking to you today and He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Come to me. And maybe you are here today, if that is you, and you can identify with that, I just want you to respond to God by raising your hand. I don't know who you are, but your life feels like a failure. God is speaking to you today. And He wants to give you new life, and you want to respond to that. I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. And there's some people here today that your life has come to a dead end. In your circumstances, in your career, in your relationships, I don't know what is the dead end. I don't know what is final. But you've come to a dead end. You know who you are. God is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Today is resurrection day, and I want you to just respond to God and say, God, here I am, Lord. I believe. I'm going to bring my finality to you. If that is you, I just want to respond to God by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. Thank you for those hands. Is there anybody else? And then there's some people here today, you have a doctor's report. You have a doctor's report, and it's not good. I really believe God wants to heal you today. Because He still heals today. Because He's still alive today. And if you have sickness in your body and it's been with you, I really believe that God wants to heal you today because it's resurrection day. And if there are some people here today that you have never given your life to God, maybe you're here with family, maybe you're here with friends. Or maybe you have turned away from God. God is saying to you, I am the resurrection and the life. And you can have a new life, a new start, a new beginning, a new direction today. If that is you, I just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am. I hear you speak to me today. And today, God, I want to give you my life. I want to exchange. I want new life. I want this resurrection life. I want this new beginning. I want this new direction. I want to experience the life that I knew and the life I don't know. I want to experience that. If that is you, I just want you to respond to God. Say, here I am, Lord. I want this life. I want to ask you to do something bold. If you've raised your hand, or maybe you haven't raised your hand, if you want to respond to Christ, I want you to quickly come forward and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you to receive that new life. We're going to pray for you to receive that promise that God has given you. So if you've raised your hand, I want you to be bold because God wants to give you something. God wants you to respond in faith, and faith is something powerful when you act on it. And that's why we do altar calls. Not to look good, but to give you an opportunity to respond to God. So if you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to be bold and quickly come forward. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for that life, for that resurrection, for that circumstances to change, for that dead end to become a new end, a new way, for that sickness in your body to become healing. We want to pray for your salvation. We want to pray for your return. I don't care what your circumstances is. I don't care how final it is. I don't care how hopeless you are. God is speaking to you today for a new beginning. And if that is you, I want you to respond right now because today is Resurrection Day. So quickly, come forward. We're going to pray for you. Let's just give them a hand as they do. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is what today is about. It is about resurrection. It is about new beginning. This is what this whole day is about. We celebrate what He has done, so I want to give you an opportunity to come. Don't be afraid, but bring your circumstances, bring your hopelessness, bring your fears, bring your sickness. Come. Bring your sinfulness. Bring your lostness. No matter what it is, bring it. And we're going to pray for God to come and restore, to heal. Because today is Resurrection Day. So we're going to give you a moment to do that. And as you come forward for ministry, if there's somebody that has sickness, we want to ask you also to come. If you have sickness, like the prophetic word that came earlier, that there is anointing today to heal sickness. And I don't care how many times you've come forward, come. God is here to heal. So don't miss out. That is why we're here today. Every Sunday is Resurrection Day, but today is the day. So I want you to come. I want you to come. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Jesus is standing in the midst of your funeral, of your brother. And he's speaking to you like he's speaking to Mary, and he says, yes. Don't say to me one day, today, I'm here with you. I want to give you an opportunity. So today, if that's you, respond to him. We're going to pray for you to see that deliverance. And I'm going to ask the ushers. We're going to hand out as we minister. Facilitators, you can start. We're going to pray for these precious folk. We're going to trust God for that new beginning, that healing, the breakthrough, the new way in the dead end. And I'm going to ask the facilitators to also, and the ushers also, to hand out. We're going to do communion. We're going to partake in what Christ has done for us. We're going to conclude this day remembering not just His death, but also His resurrection. Remembering His forgiveness, but also His deliverance. And that's what we're going to do today. So I'm going to ask the ushers, and they're going to hand out the blood and the body. And there's something powerful in this act. There's something powerful when we partake of it together. Because there's something that unites us. And that is the life and the death of Jesus Christ. So on this day, Resurrection Day, we're going to share with one another.
What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again?
just take our bread and our wine, the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your patience. Father, we just want to thank you that you've come to give your Son so that we can have life. Lord, we thank you for these precious people, Lord, that has given their life, that has given their circumstances, they've given their faith. God, they've given everything to you, Lord. They have responded, Lord. God, we thank you for the salvations, Lord. We thank you for the healings. God, we thank you for the deliverance, Lord. We thank you for the provision. Lord, we thank you for everything that is in Christ Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have given everything that we need for life and godliness in your Son, and you've given to us as a gift, Lord. And Lord, there was a cost to it, Lord, but today, Father, we embrace that cost, Lord, and we embrace everything that Christ has died for. Lord, we embrace everything that you've come to give. And Father, we take this cup, Lord, and we take this bread, Lord, and we remember what it represents, Lord. We take this bread, Lord, that symbolizes, Lord, your flesh. The fact that you've become sin for us, that you took all our sin and all the consequences of our sin, Lord, upon yourself, and that you were crucified, Lord. You were punished so that we can be free. Lord, that this body speaks of the power of the cross and the deliverance from sin and its power in us. That you took all our sin and the power of sin that was within us, Lord, and you became sin and you were crucified, you were punished so that we can be free, God. And we want to thank you, Father, for this. And Lord, as we eat this bread, Lord, we eat the deliverance and the freedom that it brings, that our old man and our old self was crucified with you so that we can have life in Jesus' name. Let us eat together. Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the blood of Christ that was spilled for us, that we were forgiven, washed, redeemed, justified. It still speaks in our defense as we come into your presence. Lord, it's the thing that gives us hope, identity. Lord, it is the thing that seals us for eternity. And Lord, we thank you for this blood and we thank you for the power that it has, Lord, to forgive us, to set us free, and to give us access to you. And Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink to the life that it holds, because there's life in the blood. Lord, and we thank you that as we drink of this cup, we drink your life. Lord, we drink your resurrection in us and your provision in us and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, let us drink together. Thank you, Jesus, that you are risen. You are not dead, but alive. And that we can celebrate life because of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for your patience. We have a baptism now. We baptize not here, but in the old harbor. Because it's such a powerful declaration to heaven and hell, but also to Hermanus that the church is alive. Des, past Des. Stille nog reg? So we're going to baptize and we want to invite you. There's some coffee and refreshments at the back. But at 12, we're going to baptize. So we want to invite you to join us. To join us for the special occasion. So if you can, please join us at the Old Harbor at 12. And if there's anybody here that wants to get baptized, we've got extra towels. You can do so today because it's Resurrection Day. So please feel free. If you want to be baptized, please come speak to me. Otherwise, I hope to see you at 12 at the Old Harbor. And we're going to baptize. Awesome. Have a great day. Thank you for coming.